Time to talk with one of our favorite guests, prepping his team for a huge weekend here in town at Matt Knight Arena off the split in the desert. You can follow him on Twitter. Use the handle at GoDucksKG. Kelly Graves checks in. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Steve, I'm well. How's the show been today?
Well, you know, for us, we hope for mediocre, so we do believe we've achieved that.
Hey, we settle a lot. You always get it. There you go, buddy.
Hey, Coach, you're breaking up a little bit. Are you in a rough cell spot?
No, I'm in the same place I always am when I talk to you, but I'll head outside. Is that okay?
Yeah, you're getting better.
Getting better. Well, just like my team, I'm getting better. How's
yeah.
that?
So far, so good. So
okay, buddy.
As a rule, I don't follow players on social media, but we see it at all levels, be it the men team, the men's team, the women's team. You know, sometimes that send button could lead to problems. Is kind of teaching and keeping an eye on what your players say and post on, be it Twitter, Facebook, or other platforms, is that something you and your staff are always talking to them about?
Well, not always, but, you know, I think we trust our players. We have definitely addressed it with them a few times. And, you know, but by and large, I'm a believer in letting them interact on social media. I think it's okay. You know, so far we really haven't had any issues.
Nope. No, that's been the one good thing. In a way, I was asking you because sometimes the bad stuff surfaces and then you question what happened. It seems like whatever you and your staff do or discuss early in the season or for new players, it takes root because those who've tweets and that I've seen, it just seems it's kind of comes from a place of unity and, you know, pumping up the program and pumping up each other.
Yeah, no doubt. I think it can be a useful tool, especially in, you know, recruitment. The kids we're recruiting, you know, they're following us as coaches and they're following our players. And if they see our players having fun and posting, you know, times that they're enjoying and sharing with their teammates, I think that's a positive. So I'm not one of those coaches that like to take it away. And, you know, I just think that we're teaching these young people to be adults, right?
Yep.
Well, act them like. Let them act like adults and learn responsibility. So, and social media, you know, there's some negatives there, but it does teach them responsibility, no doubt.
I know you had a game in Tempe Sunday morning. I watched the whole second half, was actually yelling at the screen. But I know you're a passionate sports fan beyond your amazing commitment to what you do at Oregon. So as far as the Super Bowl went, did you record it? Did you get home and watch the second half? I'm curious as to what you caught and what you thought.
Well, I did my best, like I did last year. Now, last year, we were able to get home. I taped the whole thing, and I watched it. So it is possible in this day and age to be completely surprised after an event. This year, I figured we'd get home. We actually took a charter on this trip. So we got home right before halftime, and I was able to watch the second half. And didn't really have a dog in the fight, so it was actually nice to sit down and just enjoy the second half of the game. And what a half, huh?
Yeah, I figured my math, your game ended by the time you got out of there, if they hustled you to the airport. I actually guessed right. I figured you'd had the second half, so I'm happy you got a chance to catch it.
How impressive, though, and I know you've been talking a lot about the Hall of Fame. I've listened to you the last couple of days, and Brady and his legacy. And I agree with you. I don't know if he's the greatest football player ever, but he's definitely the greatest winner, in my opinion. But how impressive is he? And was there anybody alive that didn't think they were going to drive down on that last, you know, 3.5 minutes to go and win the game?
No,
there's no human alive that didn't think that was going to happen.
No, there are certain athletes, I think, when they get rolling – and, you know, they talk about flipping the field, playing downhill. It was like, it seemed like, curious what you think, whenever they were going to give Brady the ball from the middle of the, you know, from the fourth quarter on, he was going to score.
No doubt. No doubt. There's just those clutch players, you know. It's a, it's got to be some clutch gene inside of them, right?
I would assume so.
It's incredible, and you find it in every sport, you know, and then you find those that just don't seem to make the right play at the right time. And so anyway, it was impressive, and I'm just as happy as not to see the Patriots win. That was okay with me.
Okay. We're talking with Kelly Graves. Ducks host UCLA Friday night, 6 o'clock, Matt Knight Arena. Rewind button. You opened the trip last week at Arizona, who's struggling, and aside from a second quarter run by the Cats, your Ducks pretty much went wire to wire. I want to focus on the performance of Ruthie Hebert. I mean, she was borderline unstoppable, scoring and on the glass.
Yes, she was. They didn't. They are an undersized team. They basically put five guards on the floor, and they just had no answer. So we tried to get in there, get it to her inside as early and often as we could every possession, and she just kind of overpowered them. And had some good, good performances by some other kids that game as well. But Ruthie, you know, really set the tone and had quite a night that night on the glass as well, not just scoring, but on the glass.
Oh yeah, she was dominant on the boards. Now on Sunday in Tempe, you're playing a nationally ranked team. In the fourth quarter, you entered down a point, took a quick lead. Would I be accurate saying some missed opportunities, and when your defense would force a miss, it seemed ASU just got some really backbreaking offensive rebounds, which, while it might not have always led to points, just, you know, killing clock and just somewhat frustrating.
Well, they're the kind of team that makes you play 25 seconds every possession. And so when you give up an offensive rebound, there's another 25 seconds they're going to run against you. And so it just wears you down. And I don't know what's happened, but about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we stopped rebounding the basketball. And it's really been one of our weaknesses, and it hurt us in the Oregon State series and hurt us against both LA schools earlier and certainly against Arizona State. We haven't finished real well, but, defensively and on the boards, we just got to make improvements, got to play harder, got to engage more, got to focus better.
There's a good list you just went to work on to start your next practice.
And honestly, Steve, I got to coach better. You know, I've got to put our kids in a position where they can succeed late. We've been in, you know, three of our last four games against top-ranked teams. You know, we've had opportunities to win late, and we haven't. So, you know, it's nice that we're there, but at some point we need to win some of these games.
We're talking Duck Hoops with head coach Kelly Graves. So with the Arizona schools in the rear view, you're right in the middle of the Pac-12 pack, three-way tie with Cal and Washington State. You do play the Bears in a couple weeks. So you're 15-9 overall with the reputation of this conference. How would you kind of evaluate where you are as far as getting to the NCAA tournament?
Well, I don't really pay a ton of attention. Somebody brought it up today. I think we're 8 in today's or yesterday's bracketology. I think we've put ourselves in a position to be a tournament team. There's no doubt. We've got 6 games left. I think we still got some work to do. No question about it. But certainly this weekend is big. I mean, if we can get the 2 LAs at home, I mean that really strengthens your resume. And now you're starting to play for seeding a little bit more. So. You know, I like where we're at. I really do. I think we have a chance to win a few, several down the stretch here, and give ourselves some momentum going into the conference tournament. And then, I definitely think this is an NCAA tournament team. So, but we got some work to do. You know that.
Sure.
It's the time of year you got to be playing your best, because you know that your opponent will be.
Now you get this really good UCLA team at home, 15th in the country. And I remember when we talked last time, you talked about their level of athleticism. And though your team fought hard down there, you know, they took control late. What do you kind of remember about that game when you're looking at the film that kind of jumps off the page that you've got to fix?
Well, two things really stand out that killed us down there. Live ball turnovers. That they just turned into easy transition baskets, and then offensive rebounds. They crushed us on the boards. They got better than 50% of their misses back, and you just can't do that against them. So those are two areas we can, need to clean up. And if we do, I think the outcome can be different this time around. But You know, that's a tall order. They just went down Monday night and beat Stanford at Stanford. I don't think a lot of people had that figured. And so now they're playing pretty well. This is a very athletic team and a good team. So it's going to be quite a challenge for us.
Yeah, as far as that level of athleticism, who are a Bruin or two that really concern you that you got to limit the damage they do?
Well, Jordan Canada, their point guard, you know, she's a jet. She's a fighter jet. When she gets going in transition, it's like she's ready to take off. And I think she's the best point guard in the country, and I know a lot of people agree. Monique Billings inside actually tried to dunk on us in transition last game. She's phenomenal. I mean, she's an incredible athlete, jumps so quick, you know, and had like 30 and 20 on us down there. So those are the two kids that you just got to, you know, you got to corral a little bit. You're not going to stop them. You just got to contain them, as Dan Patrick used to say. And then they have Kerry Korver, so Kyle Korver's niece.
Right.
And, or I guess cousin. And they shoot the same. So, you know, somebody, you got to know where she's at. You can't let her get going because she adds an element. You know, you put those athletes alongside a great perimeter shooter, and you're going to have trouble.
Let's final thought for Coach Kelly Graves. One of the things that had impacted this program prior to your arrival, the level of interest, fan interest had waned. From those you run into social media, the folks in the stands, those you run into in the community, how pleased are you right now with the kind of support you're getting here, your third season running this program?
Oh, it's been great. I think everywhere we go around town, people are excited. Every time I go to Costco or any other retail store, I have people stop and say, "Hey, Coach, love what you're doing. Love your team. You know, keep it going." The crowds have really gained in size. I think doubled and even tripled. You know, the number that was here the year before we got here, and in fact, we had nearly 5,000 last game against Oregon State.
Yep.
So, you know, you put a good product on the floor, and people will get excited. This is a community that will support women's basketball big time. So we just got to keep getting better, Steve. And obviously my appearance each week here on your show's got to help, the guy. Right.
Well, I'd like to think
you're a man about town. Everybody listens to you.
No, we like to think we make our contribution as opposed to be a detriment. But it's awesome. We always appreciate you taking some time. Again, folks, 6 o'clock Friday, UCLA is in town. It's going to be a dandy. You can follow Coach at GoDucksKG. Coach, always appreciate your time. Best of luck against the SoCal schools this weekend.
All right, Steve, as always, my pleasure, buddy. Thanks.
All right, take it easy.